Empire Journals podcast.
Fred Van Fleet's feet were fleet on the street last Thursday night.
Conspiracy theories swirl around Taylor Swift. These Republican voters say they don't care. Some conservatives on cable news or on social media have speculated that Taylor Swift is part of an elaborate plot to help Democrats win the November election.
Live and loud from the Live Loud studios, for the first time in official fashion, I'm joined as always by Quinn Carson in studio, and we are here to talk to you for the first time, a dedicated episode on the Unordinary League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Gentle Lady. Quinn, yeah. You're no gentle lady, but how are you doing today?
Dude, I'm great. It's our inaugural podcast about the Dynasty Basketball League. And more important, got to start off with step one. League's been around for more than this year. Title didn't age well. We brought in a female competitor. Our name is the gentle people.
But we are gentle. We are gentle. That is correct. Quinn, this league started more than 4 years ago. It started 5 years ago, to be specific. To be less specific, this league's been around longer than COVID-19. Started with, what did we start out with? Six people? Four people? Where did we start?
We started with six. Yeah, six, Daniel. And in our first season, Curtis Jackson on top finished out HUD the stud to be victorious. It was a close battle. Less than a 10-point victory led to the championship in 2020.
Let's backtrack it even a half step more, Quinn. This is the first league we've participated in that we've given a dedicated attention to that is a dynasty league format, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So we all started out draft night 2018, 2019. Hard to remember. We're all musicians and artsy types. Do you guys pick up what we're throwing out there? But we drafted a full roster. We've got six teams filling out a starting lineup that looks like this: point guard, shooting guard, guard, small forward, power forward, forward, center, and two utility slots. On top of that, we operate with a bench, an IR, and a taxi squad. Quinn, give us a brief review of what a taxi squad is for those that are uninitiated.
So a taxi squad is going to be a very cloudy subject in this league. At the beginning, the taxi
squad... How cloudy? overcast day? Not like a hurricane?
Yeah, it's not the cloudiest, but historically, I believe we started the dynasty and you could keep you could keep 1 to 2 years in the taxi squad of a rookie. But now this year, for sure, and other years past, it is basically the idea that when you draft a rookie on draft night, without having to utilize an official roster spot, you can put them in the taxi squad. Basically, you can put them in the ground like a seed, and you can water them. You can take a look at them, and you can utilize them in the first season as a decision maker to see if they're ready to go out into the world and make it onto your actual roster. It's very much the G League of Fantasy League, and I kind of like it.
Yeah, Quinn, and as we've grown throughout the years, starting pre-2020 to where we are today in March 2024, the league's changed. We've seen players rise, rookies and young players like Anthony Edwards rise, people like Nikola Jokic go from a good player to an absolute dominant league wrecker, and people like LeBron James have been a steady presence the entire way through. Along the way, we've expanded a couple of times, adding new players. Give us a brief recap of how we've restructured on the fly throughout the years.
Yeah, so like all dynasties, once you draft a roster, that's going to be your roster forever. And so then a couple years in, we had a complete redraft. We just redrafted everybody based off of adding two owners to the league, going from six owners to eight. And in that case, we had a keeper situation where we kept some of our favorite, our most cherished players off our franchises, the original six, as we call ourselves.
In that first expansion, I believe we kept the entire starting lineup. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe we kept, maybe the arguments we kept more than we left off, right?
Something in that something of that ilk, I would say.
And we added two amazing owners. So in the first year, like I said, the 2019 season with the 2020, the year the championship took place was 2020. So it was the 2019 season. Kurt was victorious. The second year we got in, I won the league over Stephen Fox in the finals. And we increased the league in our third season. Our third season, we added the likes of Andy Martin and Jess Diep to our league. So the GOAT, as she claims herself to be, joined the league with Andy, longtime friend of the podcast, longtime friend.
Longtime listener.
Yeah, longtime listener, avid golfer.
Multiple time caller. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he plays some disc golf, I think.
Plays a little bit. So in 2021 season, I won again. And in the 2021 season, I won again. And now this year.
This is why he wants to talk about basketball, folks. The long, drawn-out fantasy football season, Quinn was chomping at the bit.
Yeah,
to the historical rankings.
I'm proud of this league.
Extraordinary league.
Yeah, because I've gotten to win both championships I've won with the popular vote and then also only winning the Electoral College. So I've had both ways of winning a championship where the computer fucks the other guy over and you win your championship that way, or you just win it outright. So the first time I won it outright, the second year I repeated because of a clause in the way that we do starting lineups, which is very different from fantasy football. Another interesting way that this sport exists on this sleeper app. In the basketball sense, it started and gave me a performance from Jokic that allowed me a championship winning final week in the championship last season over Kurt. This takes us to this year, the 2023 season. And we've had a lot of development. We brought in two new owners. Our new owners this year, we've got Jesse McCain and one of our favorite guys to be a part of this now. Daniel, who's our newest member this year?
Well, I know his name. I'm not sure if you know his name.
No, I know his name.
We're talking about T-Rav, Trav, Count Conan. And it was somebody from a lot of us we met for the first time at Fox Fest this past year. Somebody I had the honor of playing doubles disc with that Sunday. Overall, good dude. You know, he and Jess Diab or Jess Prime. We're gonna have fun with two Jessies in this conversation, I can tell. But you know, they're out there in the yellow jerseys for least connections in the league. But it's exciting to have some flavor in terms of different personalities. And Trav is somebody that hit it off with everybody at Fox Fest. We couldn't be happier to have him.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the owners in the league. Just in general, I want to know who the people are competing against. So
yeah, let's give people some perspective.
Right, we've got myself, yourself, Daniel. Everybody knows us. We've got...
Yeah, the Serbian shaman, Quinn Carson, referenced as such because he is the general manager of Nikola Jokic, the Joker.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then we move on. We've got Curtis Jackson, Garlic Jackson from the Vampire League. He knows he will be the 2024 Vampire next year as the season begins.
Like you mentioned, the first league champion in league history, correct?
Owner and operator of Rock City Kicks in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So,
yeah, as well as Luka Doncic, LeBron James, Joel Embiid. I'm going to give it the soft J. I'm going to try that out. Joel Embiid.
I love it.
So fit team, one-time champion, but perennial contender. Also unafraid of stoking the fire in league chat, if you know what I mean.
Definitely. Yeah. Who was the woman that said the racist stuff on the challenge that got thrown off?
Camilla.
Camilla. Yeah, he's definitely the Camilla of the group. So then that takes us over.
Seems like you're implying that he said racist stuff.
I mean, we'll see what happens when it all unfolds later, but let's take it to Chase. SC Vic in both the Ray Lewis and the Vampire League. Chase, he's an auditor and two-time dad.
Officially.
Yeah.
Unofficially, we don't know how many are out there.
Exactly. We know that one time he got so drunk that he like lost his pants somehow. I don't know how you lose your pants out there in the wild, but you know, that's a move that's just unique to Chase, but also controlled and measured, maybe one of the most cleanest front office desks of anybody in the league, I'd say.
No doubt. Chase really good more, team.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Like we said, he's got the highest winning percentage in the Ray Lewis League. He's been in multiple championships in the Vampire League. And more importantly, he does have a winning pedigree. People might talk about his big time, you know, under the spotlight championship record, which is not good. I believe he only's got one championship in the Ray Lewis League out of all 12 years we've been doing fantasy together on this podcast. But his winning percentage, I mean, he's the first to win 100 games in the Ray Lewis League. The guy has
won't be the last.
Yeah, he's averaged a lot of points here in the Dynasty League, and also the points he averaged them when the points were in their original scoring format, and then Steven updated them to a more realistic scoring format to the way that most of other fantasy leagues work around the internet. So now we're kind of back up to date with how people are actually scoring, for the most part, these fantasy basketball games, almost like deciding to be PPR, half PPR, or whatever. I think that we found the most used system in fantasy basketball to operate.
You know, I would say Chase's squad, if you took a look at all the rosters, is the most surprising non-champion. This guy's got the likes of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, an excellent base for any type of Cajun dish, whether it be jambalaya or gumbo, anything of that ilk. He's got a good base for it. So it'd be interesting to see what he does this season with such a talented squad. Who else we got on the slate in this collection of misfits?
So let's talk about Jesse McCain. Daniel, you know Jesse well.
Jesse 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jesse's going to be Jesse 2 in this case. Jesse 1 is, you know, the GOAT, obviously. And we'll get to Jess in a minute. But with Jesse 2, Dana, why don't you give us a little brief dossier on Jesse?
Sure. Yeah. So Jesse 2, Jesse McCain, a.k.a. Juno Malone. We saw in the Vampire League when we introduced him, took the moniker El Chupacabra. And in this one, he's got Huevos Bancheros, representative of his player, the young Magic forward, Paolo Banchero. So I think off the bat, he shows you what kind of guy he is in terms of wordplay. He likes to have a little fun with the team name. He liked to have a lot of fun back in college, if you know what I'm saying, Quinn. You know, a lot of good times, been to several music festivals with him. This guy likes Humphreys McGee, playing the piano, really? And biology. This guy's been up there in Idaho working on fish and game, making different fish. For years, he's just been trying to like bone different species of fish and see if he can crossbreed like an alligator gar and a goldfish.
Right.
So he's on the forefront of science up there. He's on the forefront of the league, being one of the two new members this year. 7-11 this year with Huevos Bancheros. He's been sheepish to make trades. He's had several offered to him, but we'll see if he comes out of his shell. So that is what I've got as a scouting report on Jesse number 2.
Okay, two questions on Jesse. First of all, do you have like an official job title for Jesse, just so our listeners can place, like, he lives in Idaho.
And he Boise.
And he works with the national parks or a private company?
Idaho Fish and Game.
Idaho Fish and Game State. Got it.
Here we go. He's a senior data coordinator at the Eaglefish Genetics Lab.
But he's telling me he's like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Dude, yeah. What?
Oh, I got a link.
This guy is working data collection.
Copy.
At the Idaho. So we're going to see a picture.
Zoom. Young Jamie pulled that up.
I love it. That's Jesse? No, it's
not. Yeah, I don't know why that's his official picture, but that's definitely him.
State of Idaho.
That's definitely him. Okay, see that? So... Graduated from Hendricks College in 2010 with a BA in biology and a minor in computer science.
He coordinates the shipping of sampling materials to various hatcheries and agencies across the Pacific Northwest. So he's sending hatchlings all... The guy... You know, can send a package for sure. Daniel has
history. Ooh, read that last sentence there.
The last sentence.
Five lines up.
Got you, yeah. So when Jesse is not at work, he enjoys spending time with his black Labrador trout and Catahoula cross tuna. Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Catahoula tuna. Cross tuna. Gardening, playing frisbee, cooking, fishing, camping, hiking, and home brewing beer. So, yeah.
He looks a little pigeon-toed in that picture, right? Look at how that right foot's pointing in.
And it seems like he's got like a check that he just picked up like from working the previous day. He's like, hey, I worked this beer thing the previous day.
You think he made that fur pelt vest himself?
Yeah, he's got a pelt. He's got a.
Oh, that's Kelly Kapowski on a t-shirt.
Kapowski on his tee. He's got torn, ripped up shorts. And he's dead.
Oh, Jesse did not expect this roast coming.
Yeah. So he's got the big aviator, all black aviator glasses and a strong Bieber haircut. I mean, I wonder if I can look up the data info on this image.
To be honest, there is zero alcohol in the photo, but I feel like not only is he drunk, he's on the post peak of drunk.
Yeah, he's like at a parking lot event that you go to that has like the big wooden spools. And it's not.
It is. It's a giant wooden spool. There's a table behind.
Yeah, it doesn't have enough production value to where they have like large tents. They're having multiple small tents that are being anchored by coolers.
Yeah, I was going to say two coolers in the foreground anchor what appears to be maybe a 10 by 10 pop-up canopy leg.
And as I'm looking, it's clearly a street fair. I mean, I see the middle of the road, the two solid yellow lines.
Yeah, flat bill guy in the background.
He's in public, not even on private property, in a parking lot. But he is celebrating some street fair in Idaho. You know, he's a data coordinator, so he's clearly got this piece of paper in his hand. He's bringing data to
taking
someone.
Notes. Yeah. Running numbers.
He's collected over 3,000 collections that were comprised of over 1 million fish. So I can
part of the 1 million fish club, folks. The only one in league history to have that status.
Yeah, it's interesting because in the Vampire League, Jesse talked about how he was going to keep up with a news report for us. If you remember at the very beginning.
He made a lot of promise.
He promised some data collection for our league, which comprised of, I believe, only one port, not over a million, like his work in Idaho. So, but anyway, let Jesse McCain, I hope we get to know him better. We've heard him here on the podcast first, folks. And second question I had was the name, you know, the Huevos Rancheros, the theory of a name in this fantasy basketball league. I feel like it's based off your best player. Banchero is not his best player, correct? I mean, he's got like James Harden and Tyrese Maxey on his squad. I would think that maybe he could have been like the Hard-Ons or, you know, take the Maxey or something like that, you know, instead of this Huevos Banchero thing. But I get it. You know?
For me, I think it tells me that he's forward-looking, that he understands and grasps the concept of a dynasty league. And I think heading into this season, Banchero was that young anchor for him. Maxey, while he certainly showed potential in the first couple seasons here in the league, he really got the opportunity to break out this year once the aforementioned Harden was traded to the Clippers. So, you know, basing a name off of Maxey, I think, would have been a little... a little reckless or a little loose at the start of the season, kind of like Chase making his team name adjacent to Jordan Poole. That one hasn't aged well either. Right. But I honestly, I'm going to give him an A- for the name only because we've seen it before in the Vampire League.
I love it. We're going to get back to the grades right after this. This is the Vampire Journal spot.
Well, I'm Chad Hemsworth, star of Coat Rack 2. And this is a Miller Lite. Inside a Miller Lite is a fine Pilsner beer brewed with the highest quality ingredients. We use choice hops from the Pacific Northwest, as well as noble Saaz hops, to deliver more taste, aroma, and color. With only 96 calories per 12 ounces. Miller Lite, a fine Pilsner beer.
Bowling memories are made at Ozark Lanes in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
come out to Ozark Lanes and provide the community of Fayetteville and the surrounding areas with bowling fun entertainment for the last 50 years. Grab something to eat, drink, cold beverage at the cafe, roll a few balls, or just come and roll yourself. Or just get lost in the game room. No matter what, who, when, why, or where, you can find something to keep yourself entertained at Ozark Lanes. Ozark Lanes has 40 synthetic bowling lanes, all with bumpers, and it's the second largest bowling alley in Arkansas. We host league play for all ages, ranging from 3 to 133. That's right, 133. Ozark Lanes is also the perfect place to hold family reunions, company parties, school field trips, birthday parties, and daycare outings. And along with the full-service pro shop, we also have a full-service cafe serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner. On your next family outing or night out with your friends, come on in, because wouldn't you rather be bowling at Ozark Lanes?
Where's the place to get the hats?
Rock City Kicks!
Where's the place to get the shirts?
Rock City Kicks!
Where's the place to get the pants?
Rock City Kicks!
Where's the place to get the kicks?
Rock City Kicks, located at 121 West Township Street.
ESPN The Ocho, always 100.
And we are back. We're in the basketball palace of podcast America here, folks. It's the Vampire Journals podcast. I'm here with Daniel himself and Quinn, myself. We've been talking about all the owners in the unordinary league of extraordinary gentle people. And it's the 2023 season. We are 1 week away from the playoffs. And this is our inaugural podcast to talk about this league. It's an exciting time to start covering this league in earnest. Daniel, you know, this is a dynasty league like we covered in the first segment. And more importantly, we talked about some of the new owners that entered the league. And that includes this year's Flint Tropics. Daniel, can you talk to us about the team that's on a one-game winning streak coming into the last week of the season? Tell me a little bit about him, please.
Yeah, so aforementioned T-Rab, Travis, Count Conan came up with the Texas crew for Fox Fest, included Z-Hud. I think we're going to touch on here in a little bit. Xavier. And this guy, big Houston Rockets fan. I believe he hails from Houston at this moment. I don't think he's in Austin right now. Could be wrong about that. But big Houston sports guy, Texans, Rockets, Astros, even though they're cheaters. We're not going to touch on that too much. It's not a fantasy baseball league. This guy's right-handed, similar build to me, not afraid to rock a goatee. This man sports it with confidence, and he keeps it clean. He wore a Masters hat at times, but not always, at Fox Fest. Smoked Camel Lights with me. I believe that was his preferred cig of choice. Got the hat in Augusta. I think he went to maybe some practice rounds out there. Caught a day or so out there in Georgia. Flint Tropics harkens back to the 2008 Will Ferrell Vessel Semi-Pro. Story of the ABA Flint Tropics, not a real team, but takes a lot of anecdotal stuff from Terry Pluto's story Loose Balls, the oral history of the ABA. Travis, 6-12, got the likes of Devin Booker, Bam Adebayo, standing with Jalen Green, the Rockets shooting guard. He's got a lot of young players, unlike Jesse, who anchored with somebody like James Harden, the set star. Travis's team looks a little bit younger and not in the playoff picture this year, but we'll see where he goes moving forward in the long run.
Right. And of course, he was there with, like you said, you mentioned Z-Hud, who was also at Fox Fest. I'm also at Fox Fest.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I think I conflated. Travis was not at Fox Fest. I was referring to the that bachelor party as Fox Fest.
Correct.
That A little slip of the tongue. A little rusty. We've been out of the studio a second.
No problemo. But let's talk about Z-Hud. The stud, you know, one of my favorite things to say about him, Daniel, cancer survivor.
Just it is. Yeah. Yeah. We love to bring it up. We love bringing it up here on the podcast.
Fucking awesome. Every time I meet the guy, he's got something to say. And it's just a wonderful world when we all get to party together with Zach. Good people. You know, Derek loves
Derek Babb. Yeah. Famously. Famously
loves the Hud family.
Big fan of the Huds. Big fan of the Huds.
Yeah. Great podcast. Champions podcast. You didn't get a chance to listen to the interview of all the fantasy football champions this year in the Vampire League, the Ray Lewis League, and the Fatal Four Way Super League. Daniel, the Hud, the stud, winning pedigree. We know he's in almost 100 fantasy football leagues. He likes to spend his money and make money on it, cuts his wife in on the winnings, and runs his business, and, you know, probably active on the waiver wire in every one of those leagues, and likes to manhandle trade negotiations, and he gets in there and gets his job done, and he's got an opinion on every player on his roster. I think he's a great owner, not a champion yet in our leagues, though.
Yeah, I got to say, the big thing that stands out here, if you take a look at the historical records, biggest winner in league history. And I got to say, this is what I'm looking for from our boy XAX, the Zach's Sacks. Yeah. Zach's a winner in this league, and we've heard a lot of talk from him. We've built it up. Man's in a million leagues, makes a million transactions every year, active, grinding out there, nose to the grindstone, a real blue-collar approach to fantasy sports. You got to tip your hat off to him. Some people can't be bothered to set a lineup, and this man's out here making transactional moves to fill his bench week to week. Guys, he's not even going to play. This man is a fantasy football player, and he's willed his way to the most wins in league history in this league. A contender year in, year out. Like you said, he hasn't got it done on the grandest stage, but that's fine. Chase is a loser too. You know, like if we take a look at it, Chase is a loser. But if we look at Zach's team, anchored with really tenured stars, Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, that man's bounced around like a pair of sweatpants at a swap meet. Kawhi Leonard, young Jason Tatum ascending. So he's got some anchors. He's got a little more youth than Kurt does if you take a look at those two top teams side by side. But Zach's got a beautiful blend of young players, old players. We know he's not afraid to take a chance on a guy like Ben Simmons. We know that because Ben Simmons is on Zach's team. But a guy in the upper echelon of wins, but does he have what it takes to shut up the critics at the Vampire Journals podcast and secure his first championship? We're going to have to find that out in real time, bud.
Gonna have to find it out. Also, you know, lost in the championships before the first year. We're happy to have him. Daniel, we got to round out this ownership stuff and go into our last segment talking about the playoffs. But we haven't touched on Steven.
Yeah.
Owner of the Dynasty League. Commish, bottom bish, historic.
Love to say it, but you hate to hear it.
Historically, really loves his team. You know, I think he's got a, you know, a big soft spot for all of his players. And he's got us a little bit of research this year, too. We got some research from him about, of all these owners this year, who's been picking the best, right?
You're not wrong, but
I'm not wrong. I'm scrolling to it right now.
Yeah, you know, while you access that information, Steven, somebody that's, like you said, loves his team, but hasn't been afraid to make some swings. This is a guy who back in the day made a move with Chase, acquiring Anthony Edwards in a third round pick in exchange for RJ Barrett in a first round pick. And I think if we had Chase on the podcast today, he'd say that's a trade that he would take back. As well, Steven famously moved on from face of the league LeBron James years ago, moving him to the league's biggest fan of the Kings, Space Jam Jackson, in a trade that sent LeBron James and Russell Westbrook to Kurt in exchange for Kyrie Irving and Christian Wood. Neither of those players are even on Steven's roster today, but I think it's a trade that he would still say he'd be willing to make if it put him in a championship winning position.
Agreed. And, you know, he loves this league. He got us some data to talk about real quick. He ranked us the most efficient people picking this year in the league. So it was interesting to see. The swing goes from everywhere from 79% correct all the way up to 84. So we didn't have the worst people picking, and we also haven't had a perfect picker this year.
Fairly tight group. Yeah, fairly tight grouping of numbers.
And the reasoning before that I really liked was because the scoring system changed. It really created a different system where I think there was less consistency that you might have found from some watered down statistics from like centers and big men, people that were getting sort of backdoor stats and things like that that were worth more than they usually might be considered. Another way to say it is if you watch the replay of the play, like, is that worth as many points as they would say it was, and you hardly saw it happen, that kind of stuff.
Could you say it in another other way, in a third way?
Yeah, it would.
Go, yeah, go on.
Like it's like you, it's okay. How did I say it the first time?
All right, moving on.
So yeah, from the least inefficient picker this year is going to be Daniel. It's going
to
be.
It feels like it. It fucking feels like it. Fire. Even before I made a mid-season move to trade away Pascal Siakam.
Yep.
Felt like I was always getting shit wrong.
5-12, 79% picks correct each on the average each week, I believe. So then next we've got Travis of Flint Tropics, like we covered, not in the playoff race this year, also 79%. Then we get to Huevos Brancheros, that's Jesse 2. He's all the way up at 81% at his pick rate, but he's just been outscored by almost 100 points on his of his own high-rated picking ability. He's getting just blown out in other situations by his team. So he's only 7-11 in the league. 8-10, the first of three 8-10 teams. That's myself, the Serbian Shaman, Daniel. I am in the 79% ranking as well. Oh, we got a couple 78%ers up there. I saw sneaky. I didn't see that. So 78% is the lowest. So I'm at 79. I'm 8-10. I've had more points scored on me than I've scored. So that's going to make for a losing record for sure. Dream Team, Andy, 8-10. He is looking at 78% correct picking percentage. But interestingly enough, situationally, he's only 8-10, hasn't lost more games than, say, Jesse 2 or Trav. So
only three teams have a positive scoring margin on the season.
Really?
FYI. Yeah. Okay. Kind of interesting. You might think it'd be four or five given a 10-person league.
Mm-hmm. Looking at it next, we get to Steven, 8-10. He had a 78% pick rate. Then we get to Jesse 1, one of the highest people in the league picking rate, 83.75% for Jesse 1. She's 9-9.
She's also the lowest score in the league.
Lowest score in the league. Okay. Yeah. So, but she's picking him right.
But she picks the highest percentage. Yeah. Yeah. Hats off. Hats off.
The best version of her team, 83% of the time. Love that. And she might be in the playoff coming next week or in 2 weeks. Portland Pool Party. That's Stephen Chase Vickery, 12-6. He's got a positive point differential.
Can I say one quick thing on Jess's team? Jesse won.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if Jesse was a guy, I would make this reference, but because she's a girl, I won't make this reference. But if Jesse one was a guy, I would make this reference of the team that's the lowest score but picks the highest amount right is like the girl that's like a five but like knocks everything out of the park in terms of like appearance, personality, and just being on point, and it elevates her to like a 7.5 or something. You know what I mean? Like just putting in the work. But I wouldn't make that. I don't want to make that reference because I don't want it to seem like I'm calling her that. So I won't make that reference.
Right.
But if she was a guy, if she was Chase, I would make that reference.
Imrat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just overachiever.
Mm-hmm.
Kicks past his coverage. Anyway, Steven, 78%, 83% for Jess, and Chase, 80%. But with that positive scoring margin, he's got some.
The good auditor.
Yeah. Players on his team. Then we get to Babyface Jackson. That's Kurt, also 12-6. He has scored way more points than scored upon him, and he's got an 83%. So he's been picking efficiently with a great team all season. Guys in playoff position to make a run to maybe get into the championship again this year. H-Town stay down, the best player in the league this year, Zash. He's got an 84% pick ratio. Guys, he's the best picker of all of them. You know, you pull up to him in a stoplight, he's picking his nose. You know what I mean? The guy's just picking all the time. So, playoff race. Daniel, 1 week to go, hopefully, when I'm getting this out. And we just finished the penultimate week of the season. And the big reason we're here today and the reason I wanted to get this podcast out is because we have a true playoff race for the last spot in the playoffs. It's going to be 3 teams left in the race. And I'd like to give a big RIP to Andy Martin, the dream team, for falling this week. He falls outside of the playoff race. It was a 4-team playoff race with 2 weeks left. It'll be a 3-team playoff race for that very last spot in the playoffs for the last week. So sorry to see Andy go out of that opportunity, but it'll be the 3 people, 9-9, Jesse 1, 9-9, Stephen Fox, 9-9, Quinn Carson. So whoever could finish with a winning record on the season, and it could come down to points depending on the situations. Jesse is playing the number one player in the league. That's Zach. He's 15-3, trying to shut the door on her playoff hopes if he wins next week. Now, what happens with Quinn and Steven? Their fate is tied in their own hands if Jesse loses.
A fatal two-way.
If Jesse cannot beat the best player in the league, then she won't be in the conversation about points at the end of the week. But if she does win, she'll go up against the winner of this matchup and to see who scored the most points in the league this year. Between those two, we'll then get the kick into the playoffs. But yeah, it's Quinn and Steven in the final week to decide pretty much who's making the playoffs or who's putting their hat in for the Electoral College of getting in. But Daniel, what do you think about these two scenarios? We've got Zach in first place, Steven Chase Vickery, and Curtis Jackson. Those guys are tied for second and third, and this is exactly the same spot that Kurt found himself in going into the Vampire playoffs. Again, he's going to have an opportunity to place his lineup in a certain way to perhaps, you know, guide himself into a matchup that he's prepared to take on. What do you think about the top 3 players who have locked in their playoff positions, and then what do you think about the next 3 who are trying to get into that last spot?
Yeah, I think if you've been listening up to this point, it should be no surprise that these are our top 3 teams, as we kind of highlighted. These teams house a lot of the top talent in the league. They're 3 teams that are 6-6 and 12 games above 500. That's how you can have 3 teams with a positive point differential and everybody else trying to play catch up. So hats off to those 3 teams. It seems, you know, I ruminated with Zach a little bit the other day over Call of Duty chat. We were trying to posture if Kurt was trying to lose or shape things in an advantageous way, but it looks like he's locked into that 2-3 matchup either way. So I don't really discern any type of advantage he gets from, you know, trying to Johnny Bananas his way here. And not saying that he is, even, but saying there's nothing to gain there out of that. In regards to the 3 teams competing for 1 spot, Stephen Fox, Quinn Carson, Jess Diab, the GOAT. Not to play spoiler here, but as mentioned previously, Jess Prime is the lowest scorer in the league. She would need a lot of things to go right to emerge victorious in a tiebreaker against either you or Stephen.
Yeah, really, it seems like she needs to do her job and beat the best player in the league this week. And then, I mean, we're hoping for a tie, right?
A tie. That is the alternative. Yeah. And we got really close once this year, right? I think we got within a point.
Yeah, I think ash marks there.
Yeah.
Now, we go to Jess's team, Jess Prime, one of the hardest working owners that had to come in some of the toughest situations to draft in. That first expansion draft was not helpful to the early.
Yeah, Quinn, you know, when she came into the league, you were the one of the people that truly knew her. So tell us, who is Jess to the league, and give us the inside details as to what she brings is somebody who is 9-9, outperforming expectations, but has one of the biggest anchors in the league in Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, so Jess, great friend of Katie Stover Fox, Katie Fox Stover, and longtime friend, longtime listener of the podcast, I'm hoping. I'm not sure. She's building this team around Victor Wembanyama. And you know what? It paid off. All the work she did in her first couple seasons in the league. She's got the number 3 ranked center in his first year as a rookie. He's averaging over 50 points a game. And that's the kind of thing that you can build a squad around. But I want to talk headliners. Let's think last thoughts on the playoffs. Big picture, Daniel. If we've got the number one guy in the league, Zach, let's go over one more time who his best players are. And really, I like to look at it like a starting lineup in a way. Like who's leading these teams into the playoffs? For Zach, I think the number one guy on my board from a historical standpoint is actually going to be Kawhi Leonard. I won a championship with Kawhi on my roster. I just wasn't able to keep him in this second expansion fucking draft that we had to go through. And Kawhi is now on the best team in the league and in his 11th season. Who else do you have in this lineup for him?
Yeah, tremendous call out with Kawhi. Healthiest he's been in years, looks like the same guy that was a killer in Toronto. My guy is basically just the 10-year younger version of Kawhi, Jason Tatum. I don't know that that's the direct age correlation, but younger, small forward. This is the guy that gives HUD sustainability in the years moving forward in the dynasty, as guys like Kawhi, Kyrie, Steph Curry, Van Vliet, as those dudes get older, Tatum's the guy that's going to keep his team relevant in the next generation of this dynasty league.
Right. Cool. Yeah. So Kawhi would have, when he was a rookie in the NBA, Jason would have still been in high school. So not too far off, but I think he would have been like a sophomore.
32 and 26. Okay. 6-year difference.
So then So we've got Steph Curry, Jason Tatum. We got a big three. That's really what we're looking at. Zach's got himself a big three. Kurt's coming in. Luka Doncic, sorry, LeBron James, and who's his third?
Currently sitting on injured reserve, Philadelphia 76ers center, reigning MVP, Joel Embiid. That guy is recovering, ramping up, no timetable, according to Katie George of ESPN. He has started on-court workouts and is back to 100% in the weight room after a left meniscus procedure on February 6th. So in terms of Kurt's team, Luka Doncic, what more can you say from a fantasy perspective? Number one at his position, number one overall in this league's scoring format. LeBron James is pushing 40, but he's averaging 25, 7, and 7. Zion Williamson is the guy for Kurt. If he wanted to maintain a top 2 seed year in, year out, once the likes of LeBron, Paul George kind of slowly phase out, Zion Williamson's that guy for Kurt. This is a guy that Kurt has had since 2020. Kept him through the first expansion, was able to redraft him in the fourth round of this past redraft. That's a guy, only 23, still young, but just isn't the guy that you might have expected from a fantasy perspective. That's the guy Kurt needs to stay relevant down the line in the dynasty.
Mm-hmm. So we move on to Chase. Chase has got a great story. You know, his storyline is built, his team's built over him having the first overall pick 4 years ago. He took Giannis in our draft and has had him ever since. He kept him in both expansion situations, built his franchise around him, also got to pick up the likes of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as the 5th round draft in that same year. You know, over the last 4 years, Shai just like totally changed and grown into a massive scorer.
For sure.
But you can almost argue that he's not even in his top three. You think it might could be Giannis, Kevin Durant, and maybe even like Chet Holmgren or something like that, in terms of a true future. But Chase has got two guys who are in the now, and he's got two guys who are in the later, and he's got a stream of other people that are really available and really doing really great, like, you know, Franz Wagner, stuff like that. So I like Chase's unit. I wouldn't say he's got a pure run at the championship just based on that depth, you know, because some of the guys that the other players have are just lights out 100-point scorer. You know, that's some crazy stuff. So it's a big, big, big look here. And also it's a dynasty league. These teams are going to be around for a while. So see you next week, Daniel, for some more unordinary league coverage.
Ciao, Bella.
Ciao, Bachi.